What's good, Waging World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. But my heart is in Houston, Texas. I'm in here with my YG, the youngest fella to ever run a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. Verified Casino Royale. What it do?
Yes, sir. What's good, Five Star? What's good, Waging World? Man, you just holding it down today, huh? Our brother Spread has some stuff to do.
Yeah. Yeah, Spread is out of here today, but he'll be definitely back on Friday. Told everyone, he appreciate you guys for tuning in to the Wage World. He'll see you on Friday. Man, so much has happened in the last couple of days. Just real quickly, did you bet any baseball yesterday?
Five Star, I did. The Astros ruined my day. I had the no score first, and then I got kind of lucky on that. But I had first five full game. I was heavy on full game. I didn't expect him to come out like that. You know, Valdez, he's been real tough at home. His last nine starts, he was 9-0 straight up. You know, I played my numbers and stuff like that, and it did not work in my favor. And Scooper, he hadn't been so well on the road. But the Astros, you think they're going to be all right, Five Star?
Man, we better hope so. They start in about 30 minutes after we get off the show. I'm going to get off there and sweat them. I sent it out to the clients as a play to blast last night, you know, to try to catch as good as the numbers we could, because you know it's going to be pretty high with them having the win. I think we'll see a better effort. Just one bad inning. My wife and I were in the win, having some drinks, sitting there watching the game. I know better. You know how much I love the Astros. I know better to go out in the public watching that game, bro.
You know everybody hate the Astros.
Bro, they was in there so deep on me from Detroit, and they all right in my ear. And I feel like they janked that whole inning through, because the Astros could have easily got out the inning if they just turned the double play. I don't know what's going on with JP, man, with Jeremy Pena, but he's falling off a little bit this year, man. And if he just turns that double play a little bit quicker, he got it on time and everything. He kind of just held in his glove a little bit too long before he let go of it. Got to turn that for your pitcher, man. And I feel like that really shifted the momentum, because that was the first pitch with two on during that inning. He already was frustrated. Framber was, because the ump wasn't really giving him any strike zone, you know, and that was frustrating him. Well, you know, he's an off-speed pitcher. You know, you got to give him the corners of the plate so he's ineffective, because if he hangs that over the middle of the plate, they're going to crush it. So just a bad situation. But he fought back, held him to three. Now it was up to the bats, because you should be able to score four runs at home, you know,
in playoffs.
They had an opportunity at the end of the game. Jordan Alvarez with a leadoff double. He's limping and stuff. We know he's still dealing with that knee, but they were able to get the bases loaded. People are saying, did a spotter do the right thing by getting Jeremy Pena to bunt? In that situation, I feel he did, because you're down two runs at the time, 3-1. You want to put guys in scoring position with, you know, the rest of the lineup coming up. Carantina had a good swing, man, and it just, you know, just like how it goes with baseball, it wasn't their day. Balls weren't falling right. As we talked about on the phone before we came on the show, Jason Hayward ripped it. You know, good swing on the bat on the last out. Still doesn't get it done, but we did the same thing. It was crazy. Me and Cito never talk about games. Only time we talk about it is if I text him or he texts me about it with a question. We allow each other space to do our own handicapping, because you don't want anyone clouding your mind with what they see in their systems, right? We all got our own algorithms that we use. So Cito, if we picked the same exact games yesterday, that's crazy. We both had Houston. Did you have Milwaukee?
I had the under in that game. I got blasted.
Yeah, I got blessed on that one. I had Milwaukee's run line in for the game. I was so happy. They started out like 3-0. I'm like, oh, they about to kill them. I look back up. I say, damn, the Mets scored 8 runs in the fourth. So,
bro, I tried to get this bet out of my head. I'm lying to you. I had Milwaukee first three. Down here in Vegas, we can bet first three. I come to find out a lot of people can't bet first three. And I had a first three minus 150. Yep, I lost that. Yeah. 3-2.
Yeah. Sure did. Tough, bro. They was up. It was what they were up 2-0 in the first inning.
Yeah,
they allowed 3 runs.
Top of the second, right? They allowed 3. Yep, yeah, that's just how it went. And after that, I turned all that shit off.
Get from in front of the Mets, man. I feel like the Mets, one of those teams. Right. Them and the Padres.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Them and the Padres. Sleepers, man. Big sleepers. Yeah. Yeah, try to get you some. Matter of fact, man, take the Mets and the Padres, you know, to win the World Series. That's a good future right there. Shit. Even if you do a matchup, an exact or something like that, that's two good sleepers, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good side, as you said. And the reason why is because we know that the number is going to be inflated because the books believe so much in the Dodgers that they don't think they're going to be able to get through the Dodgers in the National League. And then they're going to be an underdog against the American League if the Yankees get there, which they think they are. So definitely a good fish right there to look at. Yeah. Alabama, Georgia. We're not going to jump in the past immediately. I just want to talk real quick. Brian Williams, complete prodigy, 17 years old, balling. Did you see some of those plays that he made?
Phenomenal. I even seen scouts saying, I've been doing this for 25 plus years and I never seen a wideout make the plays that this kid was making. It looked like a video game. It actually looked like that new NCAA football. And I seen a lot of people, they start to respect it a little bit more after seeing these kids miss all these tackles. But at 17 years old, five star to go out there and play on that level with grown men. You ready. And he still got a lot more development and getting better to do. And I seen Serena Williams. She made a tweet. She was like, go ahead, cuz. I don't know if she was, joking around and BS.
Yeah. But
if it's something about that, it's definitely in the genetics. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't think she would do that. I think her family is probably from that region where, most people from California. I'm sure her dad's from the South.
He's from Alabama.
Yeah. Well, that's her family.
He's from down south. That's that cornbread country fit.
Yeah, that's where that kid's from, man. That boy had tape on his nose to say kill everybody.
Kill everybody. Hey, that come from one of the movies, bro. That come from one of the movies. It's a football movie. I can't put my finger on it, man. But
I think the program.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I definitely can't remember five star. But man, we'll be riding in the thing when we jump in the past.
All right, man. Let's jump in that 87 Monte Carlo and ride to the past, man.
Do it, man. Look, five star. Caleb DeBoy. They looking real, real good. They knocked around the Bulldogs for sure. 28-0 at the half. Definitely wasn't expecting that. They got a record-breaking performance out of Jalen Milroe, the quarterback. And they survived the end with two incredible plays from two freshmen. One by the guy we just talked about, Ryan Williams, and the other one, Xavier Brown. He got that interception that secured a victory. What you seen in that game?
And they both were number two. They're real close. Ryan Williams just jumped off the screen to me because I'm going to be honest with you. In that moment, with everything that's on the line in that game, the environment, the coaches, the players, everything, the whole world watching, I'm going to be honest, bro. I've been watching football, as you know, about 30 years I've been watching college football. Speaking of prodigy, we both were prodigies. You were prodigy because you were one of the youngest guys to ever run a sports book because you took on to the system so quick as a kid in your 20s, and they grabbed you and put you in ahead of people who have been there for many years.
You were a prodigy.
You had a knack for it.
I
was a prodigy when it came to like betting sports. I put in my first bets at parlay houses when I was like 11, 10 years old. Prodigy school. They tried to move me up from second grade to the third grade. Talk to my parents, talk to my grandparents, stuff. My mom, like, you want to, do another class? Talk to my grandparents. So I was living with in Monroe. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I want to stay with my class, and I did, and I'm glad that I did. But I graduated at 17 years old. But I always was ahead of my time and stuff, and, things came easy to me, and this was natural. And I was like, how are you so good with sports, man? And I got so many years of watching this, man. I was a prodigy. I was a kid who loved sports when people were playing with toys. I put down the Transformers in first grade and started watching ESPN every day. Everybody else still was on them.
Straight up.
He still be grabbing action figures. And I'd be like, man, you still playing with toys? And my wife be like, man, you tripping. He's 10.
That's a kid,
but
when
I was that age, I had already locked in on sports so heavy that, I was calling my own plays, drawing plays up at 9, 10 years old at the house. But my point is that I've been watching this a long time. I feel like I'm a historian on college football. Ryan Williams just made the greatest play we ever seen in college football history. I'll argue with anybody to find one better. It used to be for me, I'd probably say it was maybe Rocket Ishmael in 88 bringing back that punt return against Miami. That was unbelievable. But that play that Ryan Williams made after George had fought all the way back, and I got to give props to Carson Beck. I was one of the men was talking against him too, talking down. He showed up the second half and came to ball. I guess after Kirby got on his roll at halftime, he came out there with it on his mind. I thought that the private jet contracts he got through NIL had softened him, but that kid came to play. Good job by the Jacksonville native to put Georgia back ahead. Could have been a little bit more patient on the last drive. He kind of forced that throw to got intercepted. But, boy, that everything was against Alabama. They gave up a big lead. It's looking bad. the play that this kid made on one of the best cornerbacks in the country, the spin, did you see the slow motion spin? Bro. The way that he paused, waited on him after the great catch that he tipped to himself. This kid, this is the best play I've ever seen in college football. That's not hyperbole.
Hey, I watched that play about, no exaggeration, 200 times. I just kept playing it back over and over from different angles. It's a thing of art, man. I'm like, this is unreal. And it's so crazy because a lot of people were saying they could make that play, you know, like 10 more times and he would definitely catch it. I'm like, unbelievable. Y'all crazy. I think he'd catch it 9 out of 10. Like, yeah, you asked me. Yeah, like, he's special. Just talented, bro. Like, he's him. Like,
yeah, he's true prodigy, man. He's special. He has unbelievable hand-eye coordination. It's few people that could tell their feet to do certain things with their brain and it listens. So he's special, man. We're going to hear a lot, you know, from that kid over the years. We might have the next Jerry Rice right there. Might be one of the all-time greats if he can stay, you know, on the road that he is on right now. And he's at a pretty good school to do it, especially with the boy, you know.
All right, five stars, since we're talking about wide receivers and stuff like that, let's talk about the two-way star Travis Hunter, man. He had a touchdown and an interception. For the Buffaloes, they got a win. They got that 3 in a row. They 4-1 now in the Big 12. They looking nice. Shadur, he threw for 290 yards and 3 touchdowns Saturday. What you seen in that game, five star?
Just Coach Prime. You know, we've always told people that watch the show that Coach Prime knows what he's doing for different reasons, whether it's, you know, his confidence in himself or just plain old racism. He's covered different than a lot of coaches, man. He's outspoken. He's always been outspoken, but you can always say this about Deion Sanders. He's always been a professional. He's always gave it his all. He's always put God first, and he's always been one to work. My boy Floyd Dixon, that's my homeboy, Derek Dixon's big brother. He's like a big brother to me as well. Floyd played for the Atlanta Falcons. He was on the team with Deion, very close to him. The only thing he used to always say about Deion is, man, that's the only dude I know who used to go kick it at the club, have all the girls, and didn't drink nothing. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't do anything.
Are you locked in?
He cared about the Lord, and when he was single, them play with them girls. That's it. And I think he got his son locked in that same way. A lot of people, as I talked about on the prior show, so I'm not going to hit on that again because y'all already know how I feel about Shadur and how they cover him. I feel Shadur is going to be a great pro. I believe he's one of the best pros prospects that we've seen in a long time, and his comp for me is a little bit better than Jared Goff. A Jared Goff souped up new version 2.0 with a little bit more athleticism. But you saw what Goff just did.
Shout out to Jared.
18 out of 18. So when I say that's a compliment, when I say he's a Jared Goff comp, that's what I see from him at Colorado, like I saw Jared Goff in Cali.
Yeah, speaking of Goff real fast, bro, that was incredible by him, man. And even, you know, to put him in the same category as Goff after what he just did the other night, that's real big.
It's the accuracy and it's the ability to stand in the pocket, you know, with bullets flying all around you and still make the throws. And that's what impressed me so early about Jared Goff in California, I remember. And I was like, man, this dude is getting smashed against this competition. He's standing in there. And the late, great Fred Fowler, God bless his soul, we passed the end of last year from 610, I want to say, in Houston on the radio. He was on 610, I believe. Great host. He had a show that was called The Blitz. And I used to go on there all the time and talk to him and stuff back in the game. And I remember telling him about Jared Goff, man. I was like, Jared Goff's going to be that guy. And everybody thought it was too thin. And I'm kind of good at quarterbacks, man. And I'm telling you, Shadur Sanders has everything it takes, bro. Only thing he needs is more talent around him. Better line and stop worrying about him rapping and showing his watch. That means nothing. He's a kid, man. He's doing what kids do. When he gets older, he's going to be a perfect franchise quarterback for the team. He learns that from his dad. As I was saying, Coach Prime has always been a really good role model, good mentor. We've seen the same trajectory that he has at Colorado happening at Jackson State. It might be a different level of talent, but it doesn't change anything. Jackson State, as you and I know, Cino, is kids from that part of the world know Jackson State was the stomping ground of swag. Nobody, Nobody cared about Jackson State, bro. Southern, Grambling, we used to smack Jackson State. Every it wasn't time. Even a real game. Only thing they ever had was Walter Payton, and they were sorry when he was there.
And a band, the sign and of the Boom band. Of the South.
That band cool. I still think they were better Southern than Grambling band, but they all right. You know what I'm saying? So Jackson State was nothing until Coach Prime came over there. He brought all that money there with his, you know, brand, and most of all, one recruiting class, and they were dominating the SWAC. Same with Colorado. He has one class in, and he got some kids who just waiting, who not even playing, who they don't even know about this coming. When it comes to the two-way players, DBs, wide receivers, you got no chance of recruiting with him. Like, he's getting all those kids from that Florida area who do that, they want to be with him, especially with him, what he's done with Travis Hunter. He's made Travis Hunter a household name. When he was at Jackson State, you knew him, and now at Colorado, you sure know him. Before this, the hell we knew at Colorado? What, Rasheed Salaam, what, 20 years ago, God bless his soul? What, 20, 30 years ago, him? Who else was over there? Cordell Stewart, 20 years ago? I'm talking about a recent history. No one was thinking about Colorado, you know? So, great job by Coach Prime. They're just on trajectory, I figured. I told guys before this game, KJ Jefferson could not throw. He was at Arkansas. We've seen him before. Gus Malzahn is one trick pony. He's still riding off of what he did with Arkansas when he had that unbelievable backfield, and he doesn't update his offense. It's too simple, man. It's as simple as that. And KJ Jefferson, come on, man. You think he's going to beat Shedeur Sanders? The books was giving away money on this one, man, because what they played everybody on by throwing that line on that, it was the hate on Sanders. They knew so many people dislike Coach Prime and don't want him to win. We could throw this out here and hook the shit out of him, and that's exactly what they did.
And they all got food. And yeah. since we still on this game, and Five Star talking about quarterbacks, I've been doing this show with him now for a year and a half now. Shout out to my guy. And we've been doing real, real well. And he's been talking about quarterbacks all the time. He did it with Jaden Daniels last year. Every show this man was talking about how great Jaden is going to be. And people finally start to see it right now in the NFL. He's saying the same thing about Shedeur, so I highly suggest you listen to what he's saying. But Five Star, let's move over to this Penn State game. James Franklin, he came out. He made a big, big statement. He was saying he wanted everybody to come out and wear white and stuff like that. And when I turned the TV on, I see they did not let him down. The whole place was whited out. For real, man. The Nittany Lions, they came out in the Big Ten opener and did their thing. Nick Singleton, he ran for 102 yards. He had a touchdown. Katron Allen came through 94 yards. He scored. Penn State, they pulled away. What you seen in that one, Five Star?
Man, I was upset about this. We played this. We laid the 18. It just started plummeting on Saturday. And I was like, damn, I done got on the side of the public. I guess too many people's tuned into the waving world. everybody took Penn State suddenly, because what I said, we approached this in the mind of what are the traders trying to accomplish. And with them laying that many points, my right mind don't lay that type of points against Illinois. Brett Bielema knows how to coach. They got a more than competent quarterback. They got some receivers. They play defense. That was just too many points. But that time they got me, you know, I outthought myself. I did one of my main rules that I rarely do. One of my rules that I dislike the most, and that sometimes it's just football. I didn't look at the football as much as I looked at the numbers. And the numbers was telling me all day on Penn State. But the football, I knew the three touchdowns was too much for that Illinois team. They're a tough team.
Bad beat, bad brick, bad handicap.
There you go.
I got you, big brother.
That was a bad handicap on my part.
Big bro, to be honest, I don't believe it was a bad handicap. I think the 19, that should have held weight. That touchdown in the first half was BS, you ask me. And then the second half, the Nittany Lions came out and did what they had to do. I actually doubled down the second half of my clients. I know they happy for that. That was kind of free. It was minus 8. So they scored 2 touchdowns and got the win with that one. Anything else on that game that you had seen, Five?
Nah, you pretty much wrapped it up.
All right, cool. Let's move on to Notre Dame and Louisville. They held them off. I had 6.5. I got lucky on that one. And I actually watched the show, and I know how you felt by Notre Dame. I knew you was going to be on the opposite side of them. I just know that, and I was hoping you had that +7 to push. I got lucky with the -6.5. You know, I just held off a little bit. What you seen in that game, Five Star?
I got the +7, and I actually got a 7.5 because I told some of the clients to get the hook. But one new guy who had just joined us, unfortunately, for him, he got the 6.5 because you saw that's what Caesars did. They threw that 6.5 even money. I say, man, they dirty for that.
Yep.
And Louisville could have got it so many times. They just had a horrible first half, bro. They started out so bad in the first half. Tyler Shaw turning the ball over. We know Notre Dame plays really good defense. Ryan Clark's kid got into a situation. Supposed to kid spit on him. He slammed him. And he's better than me. I would have probably took my helmet off and smacked him. We just was talking about that with the Saints game, man. Y'all keep your body fluids to yourself, man. Where we from, if you spit on me, bro.
That's disrespectful.
Bro, that's one of the worst things in the world you can do to me. I'd rather you take off of me and punch me.
I'm about to say that. You can punch me. Don't slap me. Don't spit on me.
Don't slap me. Don't spit on me, man. You know what I'm saying? So that was weird. But I don't know why all of a sudden these people are getting so disrespectful like that. That's just too far, bro. But anyway, on the game part, we were able to get the back door at the end. I was disappointed, by the way, Jeff Rom coached this game, man. He, I don't know, man. He was working. He was a company man on this one. I don't like how his play calling was going in some of these situations. But we get the push. On my side, good job on your part by getting the 6.5 and cashing.
Yeah, I definitely didn't expect him to score this much in this game, to be honest. That was definitely crazy. And I had to save the best game from last week for last because somebody was on my ass.
Me.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, I tweet this game out, right? I'm minding my business. Again, I'm just doing my work. I'm like, I find a lot. I'm like, this is great. And again, my clients had this one big, and I just gave it out on Twitter as a 2-unit. And I also put it money line with another place, so it's like 5 units total just riding on this one team. Kansas State -6. That's what I had. Five-star text my phone. Like, bro, what you doing? Why are you sending out college football plays without talking to me? I'm like, I'm so confident about this one, big bro. Like, I'm like, the system, the numbers telling me everything. No, my eyes. He went off. He was going to say, man. To be honest, y'all, I watched the first quarter. And after Oklahoma State scored and went up, I said, I'm not watching this because he's going to get
the
up.
The cool room got me.
I ain't even lying. I ain't watched the game. I went to sleep. Bro, I woke up. My phone was going crazy. All I seen was good job. And I salute my big bro. That's one thing we always do. Right, wrong, whatever. Hey, we're going to take our ass right to the chin. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to salute each other just how he did. Good call. Right. And big bro, what you seen in that game? I'm going to let you call out.
Bro, it basically was like this. Through my system and the way I ran it, and with the past history of that head-to-head, Oklahoma State supposed to have been in this game and maybe won. And if you watch the game, they could have done it also. Avery Johnson still can't throw. What basically happened is Allen Bowman's horrible. The Oklahoma State quarterback, and I know he's an interception machine. You can bet that this guy's going to throw an interception every game, and you're going to cash. If you can find 2 interceptions or more, you're going to come up. Every game is the same thing. You got Gundy over there calling these great plays. You got these great wide receivers. You know Oklahoma State has 3 killers at wide receiver. Great running back in Ollie Gordon. What happens? Nothing. Because as soon as they get out of field, Bowman's going to throw the ball away. So, great job by you being able to. I know that your handicap is probably based on Kansas State getting embarrassed the week before.
That's exactly it. That's factored that in, fumbling the ball, turnovers and stuff like that. And I'm like, -6 at home. I'm like, come on, what is big bro seeing? And again, if you would have told me, you told me the 6 not good. I'm like, all right, he might be on to something. But when you said money line, I say he didn't lost his damn mind. When you said money line, I say, oh my God, he crazy. Now, if you'd have been like, hey, that 6, no, I'd have been like, all right, I'm kind of scared. But when you was like money line, I say, oh no, I got a shot. I definitely got a shot. But, you know, win some, lose some, big bro, you still had a winning
week. Oklahoma State beat them 4 of the last 5 times they played each other. Yeah. So that's why the money line was in play for me. But once again, we know how I do this. Coach and quarterback. Kansas State had the coach, not really the quarterback. Oklahoma State has no quarterback and half a coach. So it didn't add up, man. Gundy better be careful. His time might be running out in Oklahoma State because he's been there a lot of years. They've had some up years, but lately, the last couple years, they have not been impressive.
All right, 5-star, since we're talking about quarterbacks and stuff like that, let's move on to the NFL and talk about my guy, Jalen Hurts. They just got ran over by the goddamn Bucks and Baker Mayfield. 5-star, Jalen Hurts got all that money last offseason, and he out there. I don't know what he's doing. The most interceptions, he on the pace to throw, again, just how he was last year, the lead in interceptions and stuff like that. What the hell is going on with this team, five-star?
You know what's going on, Rhythm. Frat boy, Sirianni. Everybody with some sense knows that Sirianni is the issue with that team. I will say this for Jalen Hurts' behalf. Last game, he didn't have much to throw to. As we know, Devontae Smith's out. AJ Brown's out. AJ Brown is the key to that offense. He's going to probably get another payday because they're nothing without him on the field. Like, they need him so bad. They look like a completely different offense when he's there, able to make those big yards after the catch. I was all on this game. This was my biggest bet of the weekend. You know, like, we slammed this one. Everybody did well in the group. We had them first half and for the game. I gave this out on 97.5. I gave it out on Ski Show. I gave it out here, J Money. So everybody should have ate with me on this one. Worked out exactly how we thought it was. The Bucs were in a perfect spot with the Eagles injuries and with the Bucs coming off of a really bad showing the previous week against the Broncos when they were upset. Now, I think the Falcons are in a good spot when the Bucs go travel on Thursday night, but we'll talk about that when we get to the present.
Most definitely. So, five-star, you think it's something between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts that got that team playing that way?
I think it's Nick Sirianni overall. I think Jalen is the type of guy who's very much well-mannered, knows, likes to do things right, comes from a strong father who kind of taught him the old school way of stuff. That's why you saw Jalen was tweeting out about Frankie Beverly. He too young to be knowing about that, but why it does, because he got a pops who put him on game. He's kind of old spirit. So he's been doing things. You know, he's from where we from. He's from right in Texas. So he's from Houston, right in the Channel View. So he's kind of, it's a proper way Southern gentlemen do things. I don't think he likes Sirianni and all them antics, all that stuff he's
doing. And all that stuff that's going on.
All that stuff he's doing, man. He's doing too much. You know what I'm saying? And I think that Jalen don't respect that. He like coach more like he had Nick Saban and Lincoln Riley. Them dudes, were, you know, they just, when they spoke, it meant something because they didn't say much. Except, you know, talking about the game and what matters, all those antics and crazy stuff. I don't think he respects that. And Sirianni would be gone by the end of the year. Unless they have a magical Super Bowl run, something like that, he out of there. Because we already seen a million times before that ownership does not play those type of games. They don't care what you won, what you've done. If you're not doing what they need you to do in the present, you're out of there.
Yeah. And Saquon said that Nick Sirianni was still calling the plays. So I'm like, I don't know.
Did he?
Yeah, Saquon said that. And that's why I'm like, you think
he's not a good play caller, though.
Hurts got something going on. And I just think Hurts don't trust him. You ask me. I don't think Hurts don't trust him.
He treating him like Deshaun Watson, man. He's treating him like a running back. He can't call these design runs for these dudes, especially if you got any sense. You saw Jalen Hurts, man, and he don't have any of the bursts he used to have. I don't know if he made all that money and was eating good, laying up with his fiance and got a little weight on him, and that's it, or if he hurt. I think he hurt. But honestly, though, to be honest and be fair, he did look a lot slimmer, like in Oklahoma and the year prior to that. See, he's picked up some weight. He looks a little bulky this year. Yeah. Than before, and he's not as explosive in the run game as he used to be. But I think he wants to be a pocket passer, like most of them do. Like my prototype for him always was Dak. When he came out, I said Dak Prescott is who he's going to be like, and he's kind of like him. And Dak has kind of grown into becoming a pocket passer, same way I think Jalen is going to be. Where he's going to more sit in the pocket and work. Man, nobody want to run around there and get smacked by them linebackers, bro. Like he makes too much money. Yeah.
Yeah, they coming, man.
Only Lamar and Jaden cut for that.
Hey, them boys different. They in a whole different league. But since we talking about us with the more LSU quarterbacks, let's talk about what Joe Burrow and them did. They finally got their first victory against Carolina. And to be honest, I thought Carolina was going to pull off the victory. Like, it was getting kind of close towards the end. What you seen in that game, five-star?
Man, I hate this one because we took the second half with Carolina and they were right there. And then
I can't believe
Cincinnati didn't just run the clock out. They kicked the field goal when they could have got the first down. All they had to do was run like they had like 2 yards, I think, to get the first down. They could have sneaked in or anything and just kept the ball and let the clock run out. We would have won. But unfortunately, it didn't go that way. Our bigger play on this game was Cincinnati team total. We hit that, and our biggest play was Jamar Chase scoring the touchdown. Did you see that play made to get that end zone? Oh, my God.
Five-star
play that dude, man. What are they doing?
They going to pay him. He got to stop acting up. And again, he's seen with Justin Jefferson and them doing over there in Minnesota. You know, again, how his Louisiana boys is. We played together. I'm watching what you're doing, bro. I got to get my act together. And you got that bag. I got to get me one, too. So they're going to step up. I think they're going on a little winning streak. Like I said, I told you, I think they was going to lose the first three or four. I had said that in one of the previous shows, and then they pick it up. And that's what it's looking like they're doing.
Something about Justin, maybe it's because his brother was a quarterback. And I think Justin played quarterback in high school a little bit, too. He did a little bit different than Jamar. You know what I'm saying? I think Jamar is an actual normal receiver. What I mean by that is he wants the ball, he's talking shit, and he's good. It seemed like Justin Jefferson is one of those guys who kind of team first, even though he still get his and get his numbers.
Oh, he definitely.
I feel like he's the leader of that team and at receiver. Like, he's that good. He's one of those guys that kind of set the tone that, bro, I'm going all out for this squad. We tough, we G's, we win, we play hard. I like Justin Jefferson a lot, man. I like Jamar, don't get me wrong. I like his talent. But I love the way that Justin Jefferson approaches the game, man. He's a hell of a receiver, bro.
Yeah, shout out Jay Jets, man. Them boys different. Them Louisiana boys, we all different. You know how we go.
Yeah,
come.
Yes,
but, what you think the Bengals going to They going to be all right after you saying, well, that's not even.
Nah.
They play, that was the Carolina.
They
got
to get healthy, man. Burrow got to get out of Hollywood.
I think he's still hurt. I think he playing
through
injury.
Burrow got to get out of Hollywood, man. He too Hollywood.
This how you saw us how this guy. One of my clients texted me and said, "Bro, I think Burrow on something. He been acting weird lately."
Yeah,
I said,
he acting weird as hell, bro.
I said, I agree. He got that check, and he started acting like this guy.
from
the Chicago Bears.
Oh man, I hope they ain't got to him, man. I think what it is, he just so trying to be different, and maybe somebody's like giving him some bad advice. Like, he got a friend circle somewhere with some new people, you could tell, and whatever it is that they like and what they're on, he's feeling it too and on it too. Maybe like a Cali type of vibe, he's dealing with some LA people or something, you know.
They got the cult going on or something like
that. Yeah,
that's what it's looking like.
I ain't want to say that, but it's just stop the bitty parties, my guy. I got love for you, man. You did a lot for LSU, man.
Stay out
them Diddy
parties,
man.
But, man, LA and Chicago, them two Caleb Williams got his first win. His second win. He went to two and two now?
Yeah.
Yep, shout out to him, man. They ran over the Rams. To be honest, I had the Bears in that game. First half, I did not expect them to win. I just played the line. And I don't know, but Caleb Williams, I really don't know. Five-star. I can't put my finger on it.
So my clients was questioning me on this game because I talked this game out with Spread and I talked it out with Ski. When I talked it out with Spread, I kind of was telling them, like, you know, I could see ways that the Rams could cover because he liked the Rams. But I sent out the same day to them Bears money line. And they were like, on the show, you were saying kind of like, the, I said, yeah, just listen to them. It's a market play. And with my numbers, it's a Bears play. It's a spot for Bears. And so they played it. Me and Ski both agreed on and played the Bears. And we ended up cashing really big. That was a huge play for us, man. And we put that one in early. I want to say we all put that one in on Thursday. And it came through for us. Pretty much what I expected. And what I expected from this defense for the Bears with them harassing the hell out of Matt Stafford. That's basically what happened. And the Rams, they coming out beating the 49ers. Not too excited about this season. Dealing with injuries. Brand new stuff. My biggest thing about L.A. is McVay going to stick around for the rebuild? You know, because they're about to be in rebuild mode. You could just bet Kyron Williams to score a touchdown every week, though. That's McVay, new guy. You know, he's going to keep him a fantasy guy. That's his guy. So if you were to bet this week, wherever the Rams play, just take Kyron Williams to score a touchdown. You probably get money.
They play Green Bay.
He going to score a touchdown.
Yeah, they play Green Bay in L.A. I know that for a fact because my mom and I'm going to the game this weekend.
Okay, nice. Safe travels, mom.
At the 50-yard line, that's going to be nuts. I told you.
Nuts. That's live, baby.
Hell yeah, 5-star. Speaking of defenses and stuff like that, damn, Minnesota Vikings. I would have never thought, bro. They proving the skeptics wrong. They maintaining the early control of the NFC North race. Donald, he threw for 3 touchdown passes. And Jordan Addison, that team different over there, 5-star. They got everything they need. Both sides of the ball, you ask me. What you seeing that team, and what you thought about that game?
Minnesota, I can't believe we slept on them like that. And while we we slept on was simply because of Sam Darnold. I just had never seen anything from Sam Darnold to make me trust him in the past. He's always been a fade for me, you know. So I didn't see it coming, and I admit that, man. We paid them no attention when we were talking about that. We talked about Detroit in the NFC North, and we talked about Green Bay. You know how much I love Green Bay. Jordan Love was rusty going up, against the guy, the boogeyman, Brian Flores. So early bad start, and with that said, the Packers still could have won the game because that's just how potent that offense is when Jordan Love is in there at quarterback. They got some receivers that can get open. Matt LaFleur knows how to draw it up. They can score fast and they can score easy. I haven't downgraded my Packers to get to the Super Bowl ticket at all. I still think that the Packers, I already said they weren't going to win the division. They're going to be a wild card team, but I think they're good enough to go on the road and win. Now, whether it's in Minnesota, whether it's in Detroit in the playoffs, whether it's in San Francisco, I think that they can get it done just because you can never count out a team with that type of offense and that type of play call and Matt LaFleur. Minnesota just continues to roll. Best coaching staff in the game. Simple as that. No one's outdoing right now O'Connell and Brian LaFleur. Simple as that. Kevin O'Connell's doing a masterful job. The way that he has given Sam Darnold confidence and, you know, got him back on his base and being a better quarterback again. Fundamentals. That's what he did. Basically got back to the fundamentals with him. Aaron Jones cost us some money. I won every which way on this game, except for Aaron Jones scoring a touchdown. Lost on the money line, but I hit all my props on the game, except for Aaron Jones scoring a touchdown.
And I'm surprised that he had like 20-something carries, bro.
They were trying to get it to him. They tried to give it to him twice. He couldn't get in twice on two different times when they were near the goal line in the first half. And after that, they went play action and scored. And I was like, damn, they might not get back down. And they didn't. I'm sure that the books ate really good on that because I'm sure everybody – like me, thought that Aaron Jones would definitely, you know, get a touchdown back in Green Bay after he leaves and is replaced and kind of has a little bad blood with the coach staff for, you know, not allowing him to stay around after being there so long. He is a weapon, man. To me, he's better in the pass game. And they went and spent more money on the Raiders running back, ex-running back, and maybe got less years on him. So that maybe they feel like long-term he'll be a better answer. He's a better running back. Far as in running the ball to Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones is versatile, man. You can split him out, you know, and let him play wide receiver, slide everything. He's a really good player, and I think that he's one of those guys that kind of unlocks everything that they want to do for the Vikings on offense because we know it starts with Justin Jefferson. Then you got Aaron Jones coming out that backfield, man, and you got to respect Jefferson to stay back with those safeties. He's getting so many yards on the run in the run game. And then now, as you said, the return of Jordan Addison. We forgot all about him. He quickly made people remember why he was the best receiver in college coming out. He shined it. And they still got Jalen Naylor. Jalen Naylor's good. He just, now it's nowhere for him to play. If a team is out there looking for a receiver, I'd go get Jalen Naylor. He'd have to just give up a third or fourth rounder for him, maybe fifth rounder for him. I'd go grab him because he's not going to get a lot of playing time with the Vikings.
Michigan State, huh? That Jalen Naylor?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what's up, man. Shout out to Jalen and the Minnesota Vikings. And five-star, man, they had a big, big fourth quarter. Oh, my God, that was nuts for them to push like that, put up 22 points. That definitely showed me Jordan Love. He ready. And he said he felt a little bit of that injury. He said he not 100%. He said he's
not.
Yeah, he said he's just something else. So, you know, for him to even get out there and put his body on the line like that and try to get the win, I salute him. Yeah. But five-star. Let's move over to Baltimore. Shout out to Tank Davis. He about to fight in December. But the Baltimore Ravens, they beat the bullshit out the Bills. out of Buffalo. Five star. To be honest, big bro, I did not expect this to happen. I did not see it. I had the under in the game. I got lucky as hell. I had under 46.5. Thank you, God. I did not see Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills going out here and get dominated like this.
I did.
What they went wrong?
We put a this was I told him, Max, whatever you got in your account, bet it on it.
Jesus.
I texted everybody told
you should have texted me with that shit.
Bro, what we just said.
Yeah, we were on.
So that's why I did, but Ski was asking me about it. I told him and he got scared too, because he's a Josh Allen lover too, like you. He respects him. So Skihead was like, you on the under, nerves. And I text him, I can show you the text message. I said, man, Ravens going to score 30 points by themselves.
Bro.
So I say, you going to be in trouble on that over and under. You might get there, but I say the Ravens going to score 30 by themselves. Bro. And what did they do?
Bro, we got lucky on that under. We was not supposed to win that. We got very, very lucky. Again, I stopped. Why I turned that off in the fourth quarter? It's a blowout.
Well, they took Josh Allen out the game because they went on and just after that last touchdown, what happened? The Bills was about to get back in that game because I was like, damn, because I was sweating because I took them live.
Money lined them too. Me too. Before he threw that.
The Ravens minus 9.5 live again. I already had them for the game. And I was like, they not going to, because the line at halftime tell me it was a 17-point lead and it was a plus half.
Thank you. So I'm like,
oh, 9.5, great. So I jumped on 9.5 after Buffalo scored. Baltimore goes 3 and out. Allen has the ball. They're driving at 50-yard. They're at the 50-yard line.
A trick play.
Joe Brady. We so tired of you damn old offensive coordinators. All you offensive coordinators, it's like our age. We tired of y'all ass. God. We tired of y'all ass. Y'all too smart. Look, I got no problem. Bro, if I was an OC, I'd be on all that fly shit too because we're young and that's the way that you approach. We're young in the mindset of being coaches. We still can relate to the youth. Cool, you hip. That's fine, bro. But normal plays are still normal plays. Stop making all of these difficult plays, bro, for no reason. Don't even let me start about Bobby Slowick in Houston. He's killing everything that the Texans are doing because he tries to be too damn smart. We don't need all of this stuff you're doing, man. You got advantages on the outside with your three wide receivers. Line that shit up. Let CJ Stroud go to the line. Pick that shit apart. It's simple, bro. It's simple. Get them in a lineup, spread them out. If they got 7 in the box, throw the ball. If they got 6 in the box, run it. It's simple. It's simple. Like, just trust your team to play to its strengths. Same way that we're talking about right here with the Bills. And it worked out on me and the client's favor. But if I was a Bills backer, I would be hot as hell because they had all the momentum. We're about to come back in the game. He runs a damn double reverse play. Damn near get Josh Allen knocked out for the season.
Yes.
What the hell are you doing,
that whole play,
man?
Was just sour. Look, I text one of my clients. I say, bro, the Bills might win this game. I sound crazy. I said, I'm about to money line them because Allen going to score this drive. Bro, they start driving. I'm excited. I'm like, hell yeah, they going to get in the box. They going to get in the box. Like you said, they run that dumbass play, bro, and fumble the ball. I say, man, look at this, game over. They dead now.
And after that, it was over. And that's when they scored the next drive. Baltimore did. Boom, it's rolling. Derrick Henry, man, start betting them to score 2 touchdowns anytime they're playing trash because – they about to run up his touchdown total. I'm saying, they running that ball at will.
They definitely are. And he is happy to be there. He loves the
Ravens. And it seems like his mind is on a mission to break a record. That's what I'm saying. They're feeding him, bro.
Big time. And, bro, to see the shout out to the Tennessee Titans fan base. I love fan bases like this. To see somebody like that leave and they still, excuse my dog, and they still, you know, wish you the best. Like, they just want to see him do great. And
oh, they be talking about him on Twitter.
Yes, bro. They loving him. Like, he's just glad
to see him. He's a good dude, man. He's been the same dude forever. You talking about Prodigy? He's one. He's one. Remember we saw him, like, in 9th grade on film? He was the same size he is now.
Yeah.
In 9th grade. Looking like a grown man with them little kids throwing them around.
Boy, he ready, and he still got speed, and he big. He was pulling
the workout fanatic. He gonna keep his body right. I was tweeting out the other day. I'm laughing at the guy for the Bills. You trying to hit him hard, trying to make a point, got knocked out yourself. Trying to hit Derrick Henry hard. He's smiling. What's wrong with you?
That's a freak.
You better tie his legs up and counter wrestle him.
Like, for real.
Yeah, buddy. You tripping, man. But speaking of being too smart, I'm glad you brought up that game because we both lost with Miami first half. We got pummeled. Me and the class on Miami first half because
and had everything to win.
Stuff we're talking, Mike McDaniels, bro, you're out of my top coaches list. Every other coach in the NFL that's a good coach has had to deal with personnel issues. They've lost the quarterback. They lost their star player. They still have been competent. They've still been competent. It doesn't matter if you go back to Sean Payton having a use Taysom Hill as quarterback. They still were competent. Mike Tomlin, they had a quarterback since Big Ben left. They still are competent.
They're still competent.
They figure it out. this dude is a one-trick pony, and I'm starting to see it. I thought that the 49ers, they said he was the run game coordinator, and they were aggressive and physical. Maybe that was coming from John Lynch and them boys up top making them like that, because in Miami, he's soft as hell, bro. It makes no sense that you guys are the worst short yardage team continually every year since you've been there in the NFL, that you can't come up with, man, let's go get a big package. We're going to get us a big back and put him in the backfield so that we can run this. We're going to get a tight end and make him come in motion and get under center as the quarterback and let him quarterback sneak it. Bro, you're so damn smart you can't think of that? A fancy way to do the push, the mush push, or to do a quarterback sneak? Instead, you're doing sweeps of little ass Tyreek Hill, losing 20 yards on you need one, you know, doing quarterback, doing shotguns and with a dive out the shotgun, and you need 1 inch. Like, come on, man. These OCs are pissing me off. Y'all kick the damn extra point. Stop all that trying to be smart. Stop out. You're not brilliant, bro. This is still KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. When it comes to short yardage plays, stop trying to be all extravagant. Matter of fact, trim down your playbook. Stick to the best 5 plays and dress them shits up different and run them. Stop doing all this crazy shit, man. You're going to get somebody hurt. Josh Allen almost was gone for the season.
Nah, for real. He was almost gone, bro. He was all, and to be honest, I thought he was hurt. I said the man that got hurt and it turned the ball over and lost my money. I'm like, everything is wrong in this game. And like I told y'all in the group chat, man, F Monday Night Football that just passed, that was kind of rough for us 5-star.
We don't like the doubleheaders on Monday night. We like one standalone. One game, I hate for this Monday night.
Right.
Go back to one game. What is one game? I got you every time. Y'all in trouble. All right, man. Let's jump in the new Tesla X and let's float into the present.
All right, 5-star. Let's talk about some NFL, man. We got the Bucks and the Falcons. Both teams looking good. I think this is a trap game, 5-star. I know what side I'm on. I think we might be on the same side. I like the Dirty Birds, especially after what they just did to my New Orleans Saints last week. Them bosses in there fighting, trying to kill each other all over the stadium. Yeah. Trying to kill each other on the field. Yeah. Young Wei Ku with that damn field goal at the end. I was ready to blow up the whole Saints organization. For real. What you seen in that one, 5-star?
Man, I think that the Falcons are morphing into a good team. They've been competitive every game. They got so many good players around. It's just about them getting them the ball, man. I think that they're more talented offensively than Tampa Bay is. Don't get me wrong. Tampa Bay got the best receivers. Their two receivers are two perennial Pro Bowlers, really good players. But if you look at the Falcons, they still can match them when they have, you know, Mooney. You know, you got Drake on the outside. A tight end still hasn't been used. This guy has to be the biggest disappointment coming out with hype ever, because I don't know why no one knows how to use him correctly. He's supposed to be a mismatch advantage, but no one seems to use him, no matter who's the coach at Atlanta. I don't know if he has some bad practice habits or what, but I don't know. That kid has never done anything since they were talking about him being maybe should have been the number one pick that season. But they definitely do still have a guy, Bijan Robinson, you know, in the backfield from Texas, dynamic playmaker, you know, dynamic playmaker. Reminds me of Marshall Faulk. He's a little nicked up. But with that said, I just think this is a funny number. It's you know, Thursday night football. Falcons are tough. Falcons also have a coach that sometimes, you know, he doesn't always have a team schematically the best prepared and tie bowls offensively. Defensively, you never have to worry about them, but you also know exactly what they're going to run. We're going to see how this returns our division rivalry game. I'm like you. It's not an official play for me yet. I haven't sent it out, but I do lean the Falcons at home on this one.
Same here. Raheem Morris, man, I just love watching him on the sidelines. To be honest, I watched the Falcons games just to see Raheem Morris' facial expressions and body
language. He's been kicking me off, though, man. He kicked me off when he didn't kick them field goals in Kansas City. That's supposed to be 3-1.
And y'all got to see his body language and his facial expressions when he do dumb stuff like that. I'd be like, bro, what you expect was going to happen? Like, you getting paid millions of dollars as a head coach. Well, come on, man. I played Madden, and I would have made a better decision than you did, man.
That's
nuts, 5-star. But let's move on to the next game. Texas State, Detroit. plus 13 and a half. I kind of think I know where you're going to be at on this one, too. You might even sprinkle a little bit on the money line, though. What you see in this game coming up, Fi?
Well, the thing about Troy, man, is they're not as good as they've been in the past, but they are 9-0 against Texas State. With that said, they only were able to put up 9 points last week against my Louisiana Monroe War Eagles, you know. So,
hey, I gave those guys out last year.
Now, Louisiana Monroe, not a bad squad, you know, a lot of tough guys in Northeast Louisiana, but they have no business winning at Troy. You know, like, let's be for real. Like, Troy has a more established program on this level playing football and supposed to have more athletes there, but they're not as good as in the past. And everything starts with the quarterback. Goose Crowder is their quarterback. He got injured last week. He's turned the ball over a lot. He has been really ineffective anyway, but their backup is even worse than him. Then you look on the other side of the field, J.G. Kenny came over from Incarnate Word. And he likes to throw the ball, man. He likes to air it out. He wants to put points up, and he got the right quarterback to do that. Jordan McLeod came in from James Madison, was putting up great numbers there, and now it's hit a whole nother level. Texas State is really balling, man. And also, the fact that Texas State has a pretty decent defense, too. They're 28th in yards allowed per play, 14th in completion percentage allowed. They're only allowing quarterbacks to throw for 51%. That's pretty good. And now they're going up against a backup who couldn't move the ball against Louisiana Monroe. Man, I think I'm going to be on Texas State first half minus 7 on this one. Actually, I already sent it out as an official play to my clients. You got Troy, who's given up 175 yards on the ground a game. That's 101st ranked, and also 102nd ranked in yards allowed per play. That's a big thing for us as sports bettors. They're giving up 6 yards a play, man, against a team as explosive as Texas State. Texas State scored 22 points in the first quarter last week, and they're going to be upset because they got upset by Sam Houston. So give me Texas State, man. First half, minus 7, Jordan McLeod's 11th ranked in completion percentage is 69.3%. I think he has a big game. I think that the Bobcats start out early and cruise to a victory.
I definitely agree with you on that game. Also, 5-star. After what I seen ULM do to them last week in Troy, they 1-4. They're not that same team because I made a little bit of money off of them last season. But since we're talking about Sam Houston, what you think about them this weekend? The Bobcats, they playing UTEP. Yeah. 5-star. The Miners, they lost 4 straight games, man. Ain't been too with you. What you think about that?
Yeah, the Miners are usually a better program than that, but they have a quarterback change. Last week, they finally got rid of Skylar Lockley, the starting quarterback. He's been just ineffective for them. Kay McConnell comes in, has a really decent game. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think he's going to spark this team. Sam Houston has a quarterback in Hunter Watson, who's more of a runner than a thrower. He's kind of reminds you of Washington State's quarterback, whereas he can scramble around and make things happen, but he's inaccurate passing. I don't like quarterbacks like that, me personally. You know, that's why I told you about Matt Sluka. You know, wasn't going to be missed too much at UNLV. With my past experience of coaching offenses, you know, coaching quarterbacks specifically, I always want a quarterback to have the mindset of a point guard. Like, you can make your job easy, bro. Get it to the playmakers. Get them the ball on time. Get them in position where they can get yards after the catch. That means no balls behind them, you know, put it on them in front of them. And just make your job easy. Get everybody involved. Everybody's going to be happy. When you try to be a one-man show, team starts turning on you, man. We're not getting the balls. We just lining up on the outside, running down the field for nothing. You're not going to throw it to us. You're going to scramble and run. Running back looking at you all crazy. You never hand the ball off. You know, you never throw me the ball. So quarterbacks have to be the most unselfish player on the field because the headlines and the papers are going to always give you the props anyway. So it's important for a quarterback to always have the mindset of being a point guard. And I don't like the fact that the quarterback for Sam Houston is, like I said, he's not that much of a passer, more of a Matt Sluka type of guy. When I watched him, they did upset Texas State. Just a horrible breakdown last week by Texas State in the second half allows a really proud Sam Houston State program to steal that game. Sam Houston was really good in FCS. They moved up to FBS. They balled in football and basketball. They're very competitive school to be so small, and it just came up, but they're on a ripe recruiting ground. They're getting everything in Houston that the big boys don't want, you know. So Sam Houston is a solid program, but I do think the UTEP is going to come to play. They're 0-4, as you said. Normally a better program than that. I think that they're going to be excited to be at home. Thursday night game, so they know the country's going to be watching their chance to get a victory finally. Now, this is the one that I might be on the money line with UTEP and try to steal the big bag, but I for sure be taking a plus 10 with the Miners at home.
All right, big bro, I don't know. I don't know too much about that one. People give up so much yards on the ground, man. And we know Sam Houston got one of the best running games in the country. I'm looking at the numbers right now, but we gave up, more than 210 yards per game on the ground. It's going to be a lot of ground and pound. I don't think the quarterback will be affected, but I'm going to stay away from that one. I'm going to let the guru do his thing. And we're going to see the results when they come back. And y'all and I might sneak something in and we might play Sam Houston. Now we're going to do that.
I'm on plus 10. I'm telling you now, we already played.
All right, we're not going to do that. But 5-star, let's move on to Friday. We're going to do a show Friday. I have a few games that I'm going to talk about real fast. Houston at TCU, minus 16. TCU ain't been living up to the hype. What's up with this? What you think about that game?
TCU should be giving up 16 points to nobody. But Houston, you should be taking points to Houston against nobody either. Bro, I don't know what the hell University of Houston is doing. Who's over there hiring process? Who's hiring their coaches over there? First, you hired Dana Holgerson from West Virginia. Clearly, the game's passed him by. Clearly, he's enjoying himself a little bit at the bars. So why would you bring this guy in to coach these young men? And I got a good friend, the same one I was talking about, his brother played in Falcons. His son played for Houston. And they didn't have too many good words to say about Dana Holgerson when he was there. And you replace him with somebody even older. You get Willie Fritz from Tulane. They supposed to leave him in Tulane and let him retire there.
In Tulane. The
Houston area, bro. What are y'all doing? Why aren't y'all getting a young, hotshot coach who can recruit, who's good looking, who knows how to run offense? You're supposed to be running up stuff, man. This is Houston. They've laid a great foundation for you. Got all types of money, brand new stadium, one of the best recruiting grounds in the whole world, great talent pool to go recruit the best players in the country from. And instead, they go hire Willie Fritz. I didn't understand it when they did it. I'm like, who the hell Willie Fritz going to recruit? Like, Willie Fritz trying to go to bed at night. He's not trying to be on planes flying around the country talking to kids. Like, I just don't get that hire. They're suffering for it. Donovan Smith was decent when he was at Texas Tech. He's came to Houston and went to hell. Like, he horrible now, man. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in college football. His backup is Zen Chris, who came over from out your way from Louisiana Lafayette. Shout out Harper's Ferry Apartments that I used to stay in when I was 18, right there on Gibbon West Johnston. I don't know if it's still there now, man. West Gibbon Johnston, excuse me. Across Johnston. My cat.
The street's still there. Mall. Yeah, the street's still there.
Across my cat Animal Mall, man. Yeah, it was good times. But Zen Chris is over there. He's more of a runner than throw a big kid, 6'3", 215. Man, this game is a stay away from me. I lean TCU. I don't know how, but probably TCU first half or something like that. But I'm not betting this game. These are two bad teams.
All right, 5-star. It's another game I want to talk about, too. We talked about the quarterback leaving. UNLV, last week, they was one of my max bets. Easy win. Easy win. They giving Syracuse 7 this week. But you are, not this week, Friday. What you think about that tomorrow?
I gave out UNLV on 97.5. I gave it out on Ski Show, and I gave it out on J Money Show. And my clients played it as a max bet. Layup of the day, I already had known about Hodge Malik Williams. Hodge Malik Williams should have been the quarterback from the jump. Honestly, they need to talk to Barry Odom. Like, what the hell are you on? Like, what are you on, bro? Why is Sluka the quarterback? We know why. And I do. We play sports, that favoritism.
Yeah,
this is my homeboy. This is my little homie. He remind me of my cousin, my son, my nephew.
Frat boys.
Yeah, we're frat boys. Company men.
We frat boys. Hey, five-star. I don't know, man. Just because of that whole little thing right there, they might get the win of 7 points a lot. Syracuse down sound to look like a powerhouse, but 7 points, man.
Syracuse can score, but the problem with this is, it's going to be UNLV defense. With Barry Odom, he might be horrible at picking quarterbacks, but he's great at coaching defense. So they're going to be ready to play defensively. UNLV Stadium going to be rocking. What's the thing is now, bro, they're the offense they should have been from the jump now, because their receivers are outstanding, bro. They got some real killer receivers over there, and it's the perfect combination because you got two outside guys with height and with playmaking ability. Ricky White is a superstar receiver. Wasn't getting the ball, bro. Like, he was getting no balls. And then you got Jacob DeJesus working in the slot, killing your linebackers, killing the safeties with his little shifty moves, wide open, you know, running at the safety on bombs. He's so quick and fast. He's getting on top of him and opening everything up. Good running game with Thomas. Man, now that they put Williams in, just like I knew it was going to unlock that offense, it definitely has. I wouldn't want to get in front of UNLV right now. They're a really confident team, and they're a really talented team.
Most definitely. And I'm usually like that. Yeah, well, I'm not usually. I am like that. When that train rolling, I usually ride with it. But, you know, Syracuse, they got some ground to make up, man. He just lost to Stafford. They only got one ranked opponent after this. I don't think they're going to miss the opportunity. That's, I don't know, it's kind of tight for a touchdown. And Five Star got one more game for Friday.
Okay.
Michigan State and Auburn, minus 24. That's a big spread. What you think?
Man, I'm going to be square. I'm going to have to ride with Michigan State on this one. I know there's going to be all the money on them, but that's just too many points. I don't care. Oregon is good, but they're not that good. Dylan Gabriel, he's good, but not that good. And the thing that I do like about this game for Michigan State is you got their coach coming back to his home state.
Yeah.
As you know, Coach Smith was the starting quarterback at Oregon State when they were the best they had ever been, and he was the best coach that they've had in their program's history. Because the Pac-12 got a bust all up and stuff, he went on and left and took a better opportunity in Michigan State at a more sound situation, with Michigan State, of course, being a part of the Big Ten forever. He left his assistants, a really good team in Oregon State, and his defensive coordinator is still the head coach. He has heavy ties still to Oregon State, will always be one of their guys. I'm sure they've retired his jersey there already. If they haven't, they will one day. Coach Smith hates Oregon. So, with that said, he's going to have Michigan State fired up just as if, you know, it was a game with Oregon State. They're going to be really, really hyped to go play up there. He's really familiar with Oregon. He's really familiar with what they like to do. I just think that that's too many points and really disrespectful to Michigan State. It's a Friday night game. I think Michigan State can hang in. I think Aiden Childs plays better because he, when he was with Oregon State, he had a pretty good game against Oregon. So, give me Michigan State plus 24, man. I'll be square on this one.
Hey, Five Star, I'm definitely with you on this one. Michigan, they can win this game, bro. I say money line. Like, for real, bro. Like, nah, all jokes aside, and I never say no money line on no big dog like this.
Yeah.
I smell an upset in Eugene, Five Star. All they don't turn the ball over, play conservative. I definitely think they get to win. Dylan Gabriel, man, he ain't nobody.
Right.
Five Star. As you know, it's the people segment. Everybody, their favorite segment, the ball and parlay. Yes, what you got for the people, big brother?
I'm going to give them two. I'm going to give them one for late night tennis. We're going to go with Gabriella Roos. I think that she has a good opportunity to beat odds of Tom Jonovich. Tom Jonovich is just getting back from a long injury, and before the injury, she wasn't that good. Roos is a player that she can't really but crack into the top 50 and be a big-time player, but she has always been a really feisty girl, and she can make some shots, man. I've seen her play with some of the best in the world and hang around with her, man, and pull a couple of major upsets as well. I just don't think Tom Jonovich is as good as Roos is, man. I just think that Roos is just a better player, and I think that Roos gets it done, and the head-to-head, she's 1-0 against her. So we're going to take Roos tonight at minus 140. That'll be at the Hong Kong WTA. They might have it listed in on your book as the Hong Kong Challenge, because it's a 250. It's not a 500, but just look for Hong Kong WTA. Hong Kong WTA. That's Gabriella Roos, R-U-S-E. We're going to take her, and then we're also going to roll with Texas State, man. First half, minus 7 for tomorrow night. I just think that J.T. Kenny and I think McLeod are just too much right now for Troy. I think Troy is a bad team, man. I think that they've given up on the season. And I think Texas State is going to be really hyped to have another primetime spot. And they're going to put up a lot of points in the first half. So give me Texas State minus 7. If you guys can find the team total for the first half, I'd go with that one as well.
With the tennis plays, I'm definitely going to follow you on those. We're going to play in some Hong Kong in that situation. But me, I'm jumping on Thursday night football. That's what I'm riding. My numbers, they saying Tampa Bay don't stand a chance. Is I give out two plays. We're going to take the Falcons, money line. We're not playing that -1.5. Play the money line Falcons, and we're going to play the under in this game. Y'all know me. I love primetime unders. I play them all season. all season. As long as I'm positive in it, that's all that matters. But my number showing me that Buccaneers, 1-4 in this situation, straight up, 1-4 against the spread, 1-4 to the under. In the last five games like this, we just got to ride it. That's 20% win rate. We have to. So that's what I'm on. We're on the under with the total is under 44 and Atlanta, money line. Yeah, that's what we are.
All right, you heard. See, you know, he said he's going to stick with Old Faithful, and that's the under on Thursday Night Football. And he also likes the home Falcons. I gave out Gabrielle Roos, and she'll be playing in Hong Kong tonight. This is Wednesday night. She'll be playing tonight, but you'll have plenty of time after the show, after watching the show, to go get it at -140 against Tom Jonovic. And then also, I'll be giving out Texas State first half -7. And also, if you could find the Texas State team total over for the first half, do so. If you're watching the show right now, hit the like button. We appreciate you guys for helping the likes get up. You know, we're growing. And it's all organic, man. And I love it. Appreciate all you guys who comment on the show. Keep bringing those comments. I appreciate you guys' opinion on games. You guys are in here because you are all part of the wager world. I know that you make bets, too. I'd love to hear your opinions on these games. Anything for people seeing up before we get out of here?
Most definitely. 5-star. Appreciate all the support that people have been giving this man. Y'all being my DMs. I love the input that y'all been coming about. You guys are coming to ask me about golf. That's mind-blowing. I really appreciate that. Hopefully, we can get some winners in next weekend for Sanderson's Farmers. But other than that, 5-star, again, we're doing it for Kingston, man. We're doing it for the underdogs, the underground. And let's just keep it going. I'm excited about this weekend.
Always for the underground and underdogs, man. It's always us versus the machine. I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. Dad, we're going to need you today. The Astros, they on the ropes, man. We're going to need you today, Dad, man. Always, this show is for him, man. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. Spread will be back on Friday. We'll be back together 3-deep on Friday, man. 3 the hard way. All right, we'll see you guys on Friday. This is the way of the world.